The text for our consideration this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 14. Please allow me to read this one verse for you. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word once more. The title of the message is entitled, The Protection. We live in a dangerous world. The safest place, of course, for all of God's children is in heaven. Because in heaven there is no death, there is no sin, there is no evil, there is no Satan, there is no demon. Only goodness, only perfection, only holiness, only everything that is true, that is righteous, are found in heaven. Why did our loving Heavenly Father not place us there? He could have. He did it for some. Very soon after, some accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, like the thief on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And the moment he breathed his last breath, he was found in paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the majority of us throughout the ages, you realize that God has a very specific reason and purpose for us to remain behind after salvation. And that is to do the work of God, to continue what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ came to tell the world that He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the only Savior of the world, anointed by God to save us from all our sin, death, and hell. Jesus Christ completed His work when He said, "It is finished." And then He died. On the third day, God raised Him from the dead as a stamp of approval that God has accepted the completed work of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for all of us. And then He strengthened the faith of the believers for the next 40 days before He ascended to heaven. And one day He will return. And before He returns, He has given to us time, resources, gifts, the indwelling of the Spirit of God and one another to do the work that Jesus Christ has begun, to continue to tell people that Jesus Christ is still the only Savior, because as long as Jesus Christ is preached to the whole world, He remains the light to a world that is in darkness. And He alone is able to open the eyes of these blind sinners the way that He opened your eyes and my eyes. And as we are now in this earth, God knows that Satan is the prince of this world, albeit not in total absolute control. God is still in absolute control. But God allows him to do his evil with God's permission. And the evil that he has done is global. You look at our world today. It is a world of great immorality. Many in America are queuing up in front of judges to get married. Not men and women. Men and men, women and women. Homosexuality is here to stay. You and I cannot prevent it from becoming a global reality. How do we know that? Jesus warns us that before His return, the world will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah, both these cities and the surrounding region, were characterized by two transgressions that we have already seen and the world has already embraced. The first one, the world had already embraced much, much earlier, many, many decades earlier. And that is the sin of fornication, where two unmarried persons live together, nobody cry foul, nobody condemns. People just glorify it through the movies, through Hollywood. And now today, people just live it as if it is okay. And now the second transgression that characterized Sodom and Gomorrah was homosexuality. And now it will become the same as the sin of fornication. It's going to be accepted. And do not be shocked and surprised to find one day in our school books where the education will be the definition of a family. Men, woman, children. Men, children. Woman, children. And this will then become the norm, and our children can only escape such horror in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not be a practicing homosexual, but you will condone and you will find that it is another acceptable way of life. This is here to stay, and it can only get worse. Why would God put us in harm's way like this? Where Satan can hurt us, where the demons who listen to Satan can also hurt us, where men and women and children who worship Satan, who love the world, who are controlled by the flesh, they also want to hurt us. Why would our loving Heavenly Father, who is all-powerful, put us onto this earth? Because of the mission. A very important mission. If God had not done so, you and I would not be safe. And now that after we are saved, there are many more out there who need to be saved. And that's why we have to be here. And that's why God has equipped us with all that we need. Because God knows the danger of this world more than you and I could ever imagine. That's why He gave us gifts. He gave us men with special gifts like the apostles and prophets, who gave us the New Testament to complete the scripture. And with the scripture, He gave us evangelists and pastors, teachers, who will teach us the Word of God, whereby the Word of God will not only be memorized, understood, and obeyed. And once you and I obey the Word of God more and more every day, you become more and more like Christ. And you don't stop obeying the Word of God. You continue to obey the Word of God. You will forever want to study and obey more and more of the Word of God, so that the image of Christ will become brighter and brighter by the way that you speak, by the way that you think, by the way that you're motivated, and by your entire life. So that everyone that God sends to you, by your good works, by what you say, they're going to see Christ in you. And when they see Christ in you, they will want to know this wonderful Savior. And they will ask you, how did you become such a wonderful testimony? But I look at your life, you are so different. You are out of this world, which we are. Really, literally out of this world. Nothing that is of this world was used by Christ in order to help us understand that He is the only Savior. He did not renovate. His teaching has nothing to do with the oral traditions of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Absolutely, completely from God to man. Not the distortion of man, not the manipulation or the addition to what man has been teaching, then God just adds to it. It's completely different. And that's your life and my life, completely different. And God knows that in the midst of such a ministry, a responsibility, God knows the danger. And that's why God protects us. That's why God wants us to be united in faith. That God wants us to be united in knowledge, united in our desire to grow and to have the fullness of the stature of the maturity of the image of Jesus Christ in your life and in mine. That's the only protection. So what kind of danger do we face? It's mentioned in verse 14. God knows it. And you and I need to know it, because if you don't know it, you're going to become a casualty. You have to recognize the danger so that you can avoid it. When there is a minefield, the people who set the minefield were not going to point to you exactly where all the mines are located. They're going to leave it blank. They may just put a sign there, minefield. That's it. Exactly where each and every one is located, he's not going to tell you. He wants you to be careful, not to trespass. He may tell you that this is mine. That's it. Come in at your own risk. Dangerous. God doesn't want that. God wants to tell us specifically where each and every mine is. Now you watch. The purpose of God wanting us to grow into Christ, to become more and more like Christ, is this. Verse 14. If you don't, you will become helpless. That we henceforth be no more children. A Christian that does not grow will be helpless like a child. Now, this word children is where we get the English word nappy. You know what's a nappy, right? A nappy. That's the word. We're not talking about grown child or grown children. The Bible here is referring to babies in nappies. Helpless little ones, little babies. Last year, I think we have a lot of babies, right? A lot of babies. We thank God for them. So now you can look at them, and that's exactly how you are as a spiritual baby if you do not grow and mature. Now you look at these babies. Are they helpless or are they completely? Are they helpful or are they completely helpless? You look at them. They can't do anything. They can't clean themselves. You've got to clean them. They can't feed themselves. You've got to feed them. They depend entirely upon the parent to take care of them. If they don't, they die. And that's exactly how God sees us the moment you and I become a Christian. That's how helpless we are. And God said, don't remain in that state. Don't remain in that condition. Grow out of it, because as long as you remain in this condition, watch what the world and Satan can do to you. You will be tossed to and fro, carried about. That's what you see afterwards during the fellowship hall. You're going to find adults taking the infant from parents. And then they're going to be carried from one person to the next, isn't it? And the baby got no choice. You ask the baby, yeah, some of us will try. I try, the baby will not want me. All right, that's what I mean. The baby will be just carried from one adult to the next and to the next and to the next, and that's it. Carried about. That's exactly what you see. And sometimes, if you feel like it, you may want to toss to and fro. Afterwards, you may try with parents' permission. With parents' permission, tossed to and fro, carried about after that, right? That's what babies are, isn't it? That's what we do. Useless, helpless. God doesn't want us to be in that state, because how are we going to do His work when we are helpless ourselves? So God wants to protect us from helplessness. That's why He gave us gifts, teachers, pastors, to help us know the Word of God, because the only protection is found in God's Word. Because without the Word of God, all these things will not be helpful. All these things cannot become a reality. Christian fellowship is good, but without the Word of God, it will just turn the church into a community center, where we are all very close to one another, but not in the Lord, in one another. That is weakness. That is still infancy, baby. It has to be in the Lord. Christian fellowship must be anchored in God's Word. Every gathering must be anchored in God's Word, because the Word of God is the key. The Bible here tells us so. He gave us these people with these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ, so that all of us may become more and more like Christ, because out there in the world, we are in grave danger. You go out into the world, you witness, the world will fight you, the world will try to stop you, Satan will try his best to stop you, and he will do whatever way he thinks is your weakness. He will try. Are you the kind who is very, very gung-ho, where persecution will only strengthen your resolve to witness more for Christ? Then he will not use persecution. He will use a soft approach. He will use luxury, seduction. He will tempt you another way. As long as it succeeds, he doesn't care which way. There are some of us who are not as courageous, not as strong as you are in the mind, and so persecution will work, and so he will use persecution. The threat of no job, how are you going to look after the family? The threat of humiliation, all these he will use. Seduction, lure you with more promotion, more money, more money. The world is not stupid. They're not going to pay you more money without taking more time from you. When I went to work, first time, only time, my first and only interview. At the end of the interview, about 3 hours long, my boss told me, "We want your soul if you want to work here." That was what he said to me. "We want your soul when you work here." My reply to him was this: "I'm sorry, my soul is taken. Jesus Christ has taken my soul." I said that to him. "If you still want me, let it be on a very clear and transparent terms. I'm not going to give you my soul. My soul is taken. So there are certain days where I'm not going to work. There are certain days where it will be found in God's house and God's house only. Sunday, I don't work. Prayer meeting time. No overtime on that evening. You still want me? These are the terms. If not, fine. It's okay. God will open another door. They pay you more. They promote you. They want more of you. And the more of you in the world, the less of you in the service, in the church. You think Satan does not know? And little by little, once you get used to the comfortable life, once you increase your life of luxury, you become a slave to that life. And you can't get rid of it. You can't take a backward step. Because now you don't want to lose face, they call it, in front of all your other colleagues who are now on the same status as you are in. You have arrived there and you do not want them to think that you are going backward. You all want to advance forward. And now you have been snared by the evil one. And by the time you look back, you are already in your 50s. The best years of your life, gone. How much have you done for the Lord? Wood, hay and stubble, gold, silver, precious stone, practically nothing. That's his agenda. That's what happens to a babe who is tossed to and fro, who is carried about by what? Look at what the Bible says. By every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. That is blowing across Christendom. Every wind of doctrine that is coming. If you do not know the word of God, you're going to be deceived. How many have been deceived by the doctrines of the charismatic movement? That's why we have this for church Bible study. To protect, to warn. Because prevention is better than cure. To prevent it from happening to every one of us. And then once you know how from the scriptures, hopefully you can answer and help others who have been snared, who have been trapped. Could be your relative, could be your friend. Wind of doctrine. Bible with mistakes. Don't worry, only small mistakes, they claim. Your salvation is not affected. Only mistakes in name, numbers and places. Unimportant, right? Sounds good. Sounds innocent. Sounds harmless. You believe in this? What doctrine is affected? Your entire Christian life is affected. Do you realize that? When Satan attacks the virgin birth of Christ, he attacks only one doctrine. When he attacks creation, when he attacks the resurrection, it's only one doctrine at a time. But when he attacks the whole Bible and says the Bible has mistakes, that is a master stroke because in one attack, he attacks all the doctrines of the Bible. The moment he makes you doubt God's truth, your salvation is doubted, your trust in God is doubted because now God's word has mistakes. And they don't tell you where all the so-called tiny errors are. Somewhere out there, they are just errors. And then you begin to wonder, if God cannot be faithful to protect the so-called least, what makes me think that he can protect that which is greatest? Because Jesus himself said, he that is faithful in the least will be faithful in much. If God cannot be faithful in the least, according to them, how can God be faithful in much? You see, by that so-called innocent proposition to you, that the Bible has mistakes in small little places here and there, they are attacking the entire system of your Christian faith in one simple stroke. And if you buy into it, you are finished. You want your Sunday school teachers to teach your children? I will never trust my children in any church that will start telling my 5-6-year-old son, daughter, the Bible has mistakes. But don't worry, your salvation is not affected. You know how wrong that kind of philosophy is? You know how? Because number one, the Bible is never man-centered. What makes you think that your salvation is the most important thing in the Bible? Who told you that? That is Satan talking, not God. The Bible's focus is Jesus Christ, not man. The Bible is God-centered, not man-centered. Any doctrine that is man-centered cannot be of God. No matter how nice it sounds. You better know it, because otherwise you're going to be tossed to and fro like a physical baby. you are going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, carried about here and there. One moment in this church, next moment in our church, you do not know what is right. Don't let that happen to your life in the spiritual realm. Just as you do not want your baby to be tossed about, carried about by strangers in the physical realm. Don't let that happen. Your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ will be jeopardized. Your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ will be diminished so badly that you will become a stumbling block instead of a blessing. That is what Satan wants to do. If you're truly born again, he knows he can't take away your salvation. But he wants to take away and rob you of your testimony and witness. And that he has succeeded, sad to say, in many of our lives. Through persecution, through fear, as well as through temptations, seduction. Please put a stop to it. What is gone is gone. Repent of it, but don't continue. Don't love the things of the world, because if you love the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. Tongue speaking, gibberish, how could that ever be from God? You don't know what you are talking about, you just simply feel good. This is all satanic. And yet people believe, flock there in the thousands, and we who know better begin to doubt our own faith. And then we ask silly questions like, are they born again? What has that got to do with it? This is wrong. This doctrine is wrong. This practice is wrong. You mean just because you are born again, so that practice is acceptable? You ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer. Tossed about, carried about by every wind of doctrine that is blowing across Christendom. And this wind is much stronger, much more powerful than ever before because of the internet. In the past, when the wrong doctrine surfaced in America, in the 50s and 60s, where we only use telegraph, and then later on they invented the fax machine, it's a little faster. But before that, there was the snail mail, right? Letters by boat. And then you want to pay a little bit more, airmail, letter by airplane. And so the evil, the wrong doctrines take months if you send by boat to arrive to this part of the world, and vice versa. But today, wrong doctrines, good doctrines, and more wrong doctrines than good doctrines are just sent across the world by the click of a mouse. Super speed. It's spread. And if you are not discerning, you just go into the internet thinking that every so-called pastor, preacher is acceptable. You just listen and you tune it in. You're bombarding yourself with all kinds of teachings. And you don't have the discernment to ward off all that which is rubbish. You're going to be affected. It's all out there. If you're not discerning, it's going to ruin you and hurt you, just like eating poisonous food. You do not know how to distinguish between a toadstool and a proper mushroom. You're going to die. You're going to die. This is the world we're living in. God wants to protect us from helplessness. The second group you find in 14b, verse 14b, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness. All right, first, God wants to protect us from helplessness. So please grow up in the spiritual sense. Study God's word. Make the study of God's word your topmost priority. Because without the word of God, which is the milk and meat to our soul, you cannot grow. You just cannot grow. You have to set time aside and make it your priority to read and to study God's word. Second, God wants to protect us. Verse 14b, I call them gamblers. Because that's the word. Sleight of man. This word is used to describe people who throw the dice. Because the word sleight there is where we get the English word cube. C-U-B-E. Right? Greek is called kubeia. Cube. We get the word cube. So when you throw a dice, the cube will turn. So I call it, be careful of gamblers. You like to gamble? Take risks, take chances? Well, they are doing that to your life. These men, the sleight of the craftiness of man. Sounds good. Looks good, but not good. Gamblers. They're going to ruin you. They're going to cheat you. Cunning craftiness. The two combined together. They are one and the same. Cunning craftiness. False wisdom. Sounds very, very nice. Very appealing. Very attractive. Very close to the truth. But not the truth. If you do not know sufficiently the whole counsel of God, you're going to become a casualty, a victim. And you don't want that. Because once you become a victim, the longer you remain in that state, the more you're going to hurt the name of Jesus Christ by the way that you live. Don't be found in any of these churches. They talk about visions and dreams taken from the Bible. An error is most dangerous when it is closest to the truth. Okay? Closest to the truth. I've heard more than 300 messages of Joseph Prince. About 100 of Gong Hee's messages, City Harvest. Maybe around the same for the pastor of FCBC, Lawrence Kong. A handful of messages, maybe about 20, 30, of the pastor of Lighthouse Evangelism in the north. Now these are all four mega churches, north, south, east, or north, east, west, central. Maybe his plan, I do not know. The north is Lighthouse Evangelism, Ronnie Tan. The east, Lawrence Kong, FCBC. The west, City Harvest, Gong Hee. Middle, Star Vista. Somewhere around there, Joseph Prince. Of the four of them, do you know which one is closest to the truth in terms of its preaching? Ronnie Tan. Not as dynamic, soft-spoken, but most biblical. Therefore, he's the most dangerous. He makes fun of fundamentalists. He begins his sermon most of the time with a joke, and the joke is basically against us, people who believe in the perfect Bible, who believe in fundamentalism. The worst of all is Joseph Prince. He's a clown. He's a cartoon. He can't even string a proper sentence properly. He speaks English, but somehow, when you look at him, visual and audio, he's a different person. When you just listen to him while you're driving the car, just audio, you ask yourself, how in the world would anyone believe this kind of message? Because it's broken English, it's awful. But he's a totally different person. When you look at him, visual, you forget the audio. He mesmerizes you by his body language and his appearance. I did not realize this until I watched him once from the computer. Life. Or maybe one of those pre-play. Listen to him for about 15 minutes. Completely different. Very persuasive. Visual, audio. Audio alone, the worst of the four. But visual, you put him all the way up there. Very different. Charismatic. Just like the movement itself. They are dangerous. They will ruin your life. They will take your life and your time and your resources, and then at the end of it, what do you have left? You only have an empty, sincere service characterized by unbiblical teaching. You have just wasted your life. If you are truly born again, by the way, when God warns us in 1 Corinthians 3, every believer's life will be made up of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. All, no exception. When you believe something incorrectly and you do it sincerely, that will be ranked under wood, hay, and stubble. When you believe something correctly and you do it with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ as the right biblical motive for God's glory and for the blessing of God's people, expecting nothing in return because it is the right thing to do, it will be gold, silver, precious stone. So how much of what we have been doing since the day we are born again that God would call gold, silver, precious stone, and wood, hay, and stubble? One day God will reveal that to us. Will it be more of the former, gold, silver, precious stone, or will it be more of the latter, where all will be burned up and consumed? Sincerity is no replacement for truth. You know that. Cunning craftiness, it is very, very much alive today. And this is the sleight of man, gamblers, playing dice with your life, with your time on earth, with your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let them succeed. Only the knowledge of the truth of God and your heart of obedience that can protect you and shield you from these individuals. Because they are very alluring. They are designed to be alluring, to be captivating. And they have captured a big chunk of Singapore as well as many, many parts of the world, because the charismatic movement had grown and over outstripped in terms of growth than all the mainline denominations such as the Anglican, the Methodist, the Baptist, and the Presbyterians, who were founded as far back as the 16th century. The charismatic movement came into being only in 1906, the turn of the 20th century. But today, their churches and their number have outstripped all these major denominations. Not only outstripped them, they have literally consumed them and eaten them up. You realize that? They have infiltrated into all these churches. You find Methodist churches allowing their young people to have contemporary Christian music and tongue speaking. Isn't that true? Just to pander to these young people's desire, because the argument is always the same. If you don't pander to their young people's desire, they're going to leave the church. And so therefore, they accommodate. Well, the older ones will still have the contemporary way of worship, singing old-fashioned hymns and so on. Ask yourself one simple question. One simple logical question. 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, if the Lord tarries, what will happen to this so-called contemporary Christian music? The conservative way of worship. Gone, isn't it? Because 20, 30 years down the road, all these old folks will just simply be found in Choa Chu Kang Cemetery. Right? It just simply die off. Then what will become of the church? The church will become CCM, tongue-speaking, charismatic. Or your name may still be the same. You can still call yourself Presbyterian, Bible Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, whatever. But the heart and soul, the essence, is charismatic. And that is what we see before our very eyes for the past 100+ years. The sleight of man, gamblers, throwing a dice with your life, with your soul, by using cunning craftiness, very, very deceptive, false wisdom, to lure you away. Unless you know the truth, then you will not be deceived. Otherwise, you will become a victim. And then your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ will be shattered. And then lives around you will be ruined and hurt. And what they believe in is no longer the Christ of the Bible, but another Christ. Oh, the name sounds the same. It's still spelled Jesus Christ. But it is no longer the Christ of the Bible, because everything else unbiblical, except the name. Finally, God wants to protect us. First, helplessness. Grow up. Second, gamblers. Now the third one, I have to apologize first. Because the third one, I call them Methodists. Protect us from the Methodists, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The phrase, they lie in wait to deceive, in the Greek word, is methodology. People who plot and plan and use very logical arguments, very, very carefully crafted methodologies, methods. So I call them, be careful, protect us from helplessness, protect us from gamblers, and protect us from Methodists. Not the Methodists of the Methodist Church, okay? Right, these are the evil people who are very crafty and very careful, in a very methodical way, destroy your Christian witness, your Christian testimony, shake the very foundation of your faith. That's the word that is used there, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They plot, they plan, they wait, they watch to ambush you. They lure you in step by step, little by little, like cooking a frog. They don't throw you into the boiling water, you will jump out. They put you in a very nice, comfortable room temperature water that you are very, very comfortable in. And then you just increase the temperature just the slightest, that you don't even feel the difference, because once you're in it, you get used to it. And then a little bit more, and a little bit more, a little bit more, and by the time you know it, you are already in his mouth. He's already eating you. Frog leg. Correct? And then when you look back, the best years of your life, gone. You have just been cooked. Cares of the world, one of the best ways. Cares of, you know what are cares of the world? In themselves, they are not evil. They are just simply responsibilities of parenting. Cares of the world. My children's education in this part of Singapore, it is so, so competitive. I must have my child start as young as possible, based upon how much I can afford so that they will not be disadvantaged by my neighbor's children. My neighbor's children send their children to kindergarten. I send to nursery. 1 year ahead. And then they notice. And they also send now, not nursery, pre-nursery. 1 year ahead of your year ahead of mine. And so they challenge. And so our kindergarten also have pre-nursery. What to do? We live in a competitive world, and so we continue to fight, continue to fight. And so after kindergarten K2, we want our children to be in the best primary school. So the system has this method in Singapore where you categorize yourself under what, A, B, C, D, or something like that, right? And if you have no connection, you think and plot and plan and sacrifice to get yourself connected. So mothers will devote their time, how many hours a week, how many hours a month, wiping table at canteen or doing a, don't know, do what they do down there. And then after how many months of it, now my son, my daughter qualified with this particular connection. Is it God's will? I don't know. I just want my son in there. And before you know it, you've already been cooked. You sacrifice all the other area of service. And all you care about is this that you have plotted and planned. And so your child is now very, very studious, very, very clever. And then what? Now they get a very good job, they get into a very good university, and then what? Or they buy a big bungalow, nice swimming pool, and they can take care of me, my old age, and then what? When they die in their sin, and then what? They find themselves in hell. And what have you done? You have just pushed your son and your daughter in the direction of Satan. And you didn't even know it. Because everyone in our society is doing it, and you just get caught in the whole mess euphoria. Push. Take a step back. What is God's will for my son's life? Education is not the end all. Christ, Jesus Christ, is everything, not education. Focus in our children's life, spiritual emphasis, not education. Who was the wisest man on planet Earth? His name was King Solomon. You look at his life. Did he have all the gold and all the silver and everything that money could buy? Yes. Did he also have everything that could satisfy his lusts of the flesh? Yes. 700 wives, 300 concubines, all the gold and everything that he could ever hope for and imagine, he tasted it all. And what did he share with us after his gigantic mistake? Read Ecclesiastes. Everything is vanity, everything is empty without God. And he paid the ultimate price for it because it was his life, his testimony that was sacrificed so that you and I may learn from his error, so that you and I may not repeat that error. And that's why God gave that book to us, to warn us about the dangers of all these cares of the world that look so innocent, but it has a very, very deadly taint in it, because it makes us feel good. You see, I'm looking after my son, I'm looking after my daughter, I want the best for them. You are not giving them the best, even though you may want the best, because you have been seduced by the world. Keep the Lord's Day holy, parents, please. Let that be instilled in your child from day one. No extracurricular activities, no co-curricular activities, no dancing, no piano playing, no nothing. Just teach them the importance of the Lord's Day worship. Because if they are born again, remind them that this is reality. Not what you do from Monday to Saturday, because Monday to Saturday, they have this one word called retirement. You don't retire from worship. You don't retire in praising God, right? That's what everything that a child of God does on Sunday is what he will do for eternity. So don't teach your child tuition on Sunday. Well, Mom, you mean in heaven I'm going to do tuition forever? Right? Because what you do on Sunday, you're going to do for eternity, right? That's what the Lord said. That's what it means by keeping the Lord's Day holy. Christian fellowship, you continue to have Christian fellowship. Study God's word, you continue to study God's word. Praise and worship, you continue to praise and worship. And then you inject tuition. Then you say, everything that we do on Sunday, we do in heaven. Then your child sit there, ayah, die, tuition, every day I sit there for tuition forever and ever. You see, you teach the wrong thing to your child. You teach them the wrong thing. You teach them that we are only good in heaven after glorification. God says, no, you are good for me to do my work immediately you are born again, and I have blessed you with everything that you need to be victorious, to succeed, with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, with men who will give you the Word of God, to teach you the Word of God, so that you will not be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine through all these gamblers, by the sleight of men, all their trickery, their cunning craftiness. And then with all these done methodologically, using all kinds of methods to make sure that they succeed. And once they are ready, they pounce on you and they got you. Only the Word of God can help us see through their methods. The methods of the world are all around us. The newspaper. What is a successful life? They have the section called life, right? They should change it to death for us. Because you follow what is written there, you die. No joke. That is not life. Because they give you a very worldly philosophy of what is success. They define success as materialism. The more material things you have, the more successful you are. Is that what the Bible teaches? The opposite. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let God add all these things to you as He sees fit, so that your faith and your trust in Him will not be jeopardized when you have them. You don't go after them. The love of money is the root of all evil. God is never wrong. Godliness with contentment is real wealth, great gain. And that cannot come when you do not know what godliness is, when you do not know who God is. You can never be contented. Know God's word, study God's word, be more like Christ, have Christian fellowship to mutually encourage one another, to provoke one another and to love and do good works. Then you will become mature. Then you will be protected from helplessness as a babe, from gamblers who are there waiting to cheat you and deceive you, and from Methodists whose agenda is very methodical and their planning and the plotting is very, very deceptive, waiting, watching to destroy. Lie in wait to deceive. Methodical in their approach. Very effective. Why? Because we have seen this over and over again in the lives of some of us. You talk to some and you watch some of our people in the Senior Adults Fellowship. They have not been Christians all their lives. Talk to them. Ask them. Share with you. To tell you. Look at the Bible. So many of these examples to share with you, to tell you, so that you will not repeat and make their mistakes. All of us have a purpose here on earth. In the church, we build up each other's faith to prepare us when we go out into the world to face the enemy. The church is not the enemy. The church is home, family. And that's what God wants us to realize and understand. We come here, build each other's faith to face the world out there Monday to Saturday. And then we come back. Don't bring the world into the church. Bring Christ into the world so that the world may see Christ and be Christians. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this verse of warning to help each and every one of us not to be contented, not to be slothful and lazy, but to be godly, and to know that only in the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Word of God hidden in our hearts can we be well protected from helplessness and from gamblers and from Methodists whose agenda is to destroy our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, that many may not see Christ in us, so that many may die in their sin and find themselves in hell. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. Forgive us, O Lord, when we have allowed the world and the philosophies of the world to creep into our thinking and to affect our lives and impact our witness. Help us, sanctify us, that we may make right our life and our relationship with one another in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially for every parent. That the fear of God will be in their hearts and the wisdom from Thee may be upon them. That they may be godly witnesses and examples to bring their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. That their children may all come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that as a family, we may all be found in Thy holy presence on the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Bless us, O Lord, once again, and dismiss us as we realize how important and wonderful it is to be sent out by Thee week, after the Lord's Day worship, with brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us to go out there as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially during this Lunar New Year season. Use us and make us a blessing to someone. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.